Why, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Hello. Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as ever, your GM, Nathan, surrounded by some of the most excellent Dungeons & Dragons role players on any podcast.
Aw.
Thank you, Nathan. Thanks.
Wow.
You're the most excellent DM.
I was like, it was a long pause because it's like, do I say something mean now?
No.
As a joke?
No.
No. No, I won't. No. Because I mean it. And we're here, gosh darn it, to play some Dungeons & Dragons. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting one. Before we talk about kind of the situation that our intrepid adventurers find themselves in, let's talk a bit to the individuals who are playing those various doomed souls. Starting with the individual to my right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I, as always, am playing Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn Monk. And a tiny little peek behind the scenes, you know, we had to pause kind of in the middle of a combat with some stuff going on, which gave us a little while to think of things. And then I got ideas, and I will hopefully be implementing some of those ideas here today.
Every GM loves to hear that their player has been scheming in total isolation about something.
Yes. So to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I'm to the right of Steve. And I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Sorcerer. And Kaskrin has seen Captain Livingstone, this fine dwarf with a beard that touches the ground, a man who has braved the storms, the weather, and is currently just like in the middle of this like sleet storm that Checkers has cast, summoning his men and pushing them forward. And I'm just like, God damn, that's cool.
Yeah. that's the captain come I want to be.
Unfortunately, cool guy.
Yeah. It's like, come on, Nathan. I thought we were supposed to be heroes.
Except
here.
For his like actions and morals and that kind of
stuff.
Yeah, whatever.
Why is he cool though? And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Nathan has been grinning maniacally at us with his big old pile of dice sitting out in front of him. We were talking before the episode. I think he has like 6 D20s, a bunch of D12s, D8s. Like, he's got a whole menagerie of dice ready to throw at us and murder us with.
Yeah, so. I think I have at least 3 of every kind of dice.
Yeah.
And I think I might use most of them.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human cleric of the Arcana Domain. And Val has a fiery vengeance burning inside her, and it will be taken out on the Sky Pirates.
Well, because I believe at this point, Val, number one, has not seen, and number two, does not know about the actual captured baby sky whale on
you
the deck
know
of the ship.
What she'll do.
Yes.
We can't let her know.
When we find out, or when she finds out, I want to be physically as far away as possible, but still within helping distance.
Within, I would say viewing distance.
Yeah. Like, I'll see what happens. Yeah. Perhaps.
That's right. Our glorious Golden Tree adventurers are trying to steal a skyship and, you know, maybe enact some murderous vengeance upon some sky whalers at the moment. Things escalated pretty quickly. There is a captain. That's right. The towering Captain Silvertooth Livingstone, the finest dwarven pirate in these skies, who is currently trapped with a few of his crewmates behind both storm and brush at the moment, thanks to Checkers. But luckily, he has some help in the form of, God, it's almost like embarrassing to list all of the help that he has, just because, well, I guess what I want to say is I hope that you all internalize the long list of names that I'm about to spout out so that you can really feel what you're about to go through. First of all, is the trusty snake, Simone, who seems to be going around zapping people. There's at least 2 different other batches of crewmates who have already kind of... One of them has already descended onto the field of battle, and another one is up in the ship itself. And, oh yeah, right at the end of combat, the first mate showed up, wearing a suit of mobile armor. Out next to Simone is Mangoes and Checkers,
mm-hmm.
kind of all in one big melee, right near the tethering rope of the ship is basically everyone else. And then up on the ship is Selv and a batch of sailors. Since things have escalated a little bit, and since it's a new episode, and because rolling dice is fun, I think it's time to roll for initiative again.
Ooh. I liked mine.
Phase two. We'll just roll good again.
Can only tie or go up from being last.
Yes,
that's true. Oh.
Doesn't look like I'll be going up from going last.
Okay, what do we got?
Val with a 6.
Kaskrin with a 6.
Checkers with a 23. I got a nat 20. I actually got higher than I did last time.
Self with 5.
Oh no.
Yikes.
I rolled a 1.
Guys, well, clearly you guys are all in a state of shock from the sudden turn of events.
Val is operating as normal.
Well, I guess that's true. You're steady watching things unfold before making your decisions. Top of the round. Checkers, you go again.
Still Checkers.
Still Checkers.
Somehow rolling even better initiative than I did previously.
After all this, you're back to me.
Yeah, so Checkers and Mango are in a 2v1 in this dark forest. The sounds of thunder and lightning in the background as we are facing off against Simone, the snake creature. And Simone's sort of like lightning spots are... charging up for another attack, and
yeah, you just barely missed being stunned
dazed,
or whatever
dazed.
The days. That's the word. Yeah, yes, yeah. Last time.
Yep. So rather than fight this by myself, I think I'm actually going to try to get away. Yep.
Your predator prey instincts are kicking.
Right. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to spend half my movement to mount on top of Mango, and I'm going to give up my bonus action to disengage.
Okay.
So both of us can move away from Simone without triggering attacks of opportunity. And as the two of us are running away, essentially, I'm going to use this relic that I got from Saint Stillwater.
Ooh.
And this is the first time that I've really been able to use it because it's taken a lot of time and energy and focus to actually, like, attune to it.
Yeah, that's a very diplomatic way of putting it, yes.
Checker just, like, kept trying things until he figured it out. And a glowing rope shoots out from the cape, which is the Mantle of Still Waters, and is going to fire at Simone. I'm going to make a ranged spell attack against her.
Ooh, okay.
19 to hit.
That is a hit.
All right. So now two things happen. One, Simone begins kind of glowing with this strange phosphorescent energy. She is now barred from extra-dimensional travel. So if she...
okay.
Yeah. If she was going to travel to another plane or teleport in any meaningful way, you can't do that
weird
anymore.
Lightning creature.
Yeah.
That could be on the table.
Yep.
Certainly.
She's staying on this plane. But the other thing is I'm hopefully she's going to be staying in this space. So a small pool of water appears 30 feet behind her and begins kind of like tugging at her. And this is not just tugging at her physical form. This is like tugging at her soul, her like spiritual, ethereal form. So what I'm going to need Simone to do is make me a wisdom saving throw. And if she fails, she's going to get pulled towards that pool of water.
Simone's not more wise than some animals, but 17 on the die.
Okay, so she's not pulled at all.
Okay.
But Mango and I are still going to disengage. We're going to run around the thunderstorm and the plant growth and try to get away from Simone.
Okay, but she is still tethered there, correct?
She's still tethered.
There is still a connection.
Correct. And that's the end of my turn.
Okay. Now it is something else's turn to happen. From inside the depths of the storm, behind all of these conjured brambles, perhaps echoing a bit in the cave, you hear the incredibly robust, very virile voice of the amazing, incredible, probably coolest character of all time.
Oh, no.
Is this a DM insert?
Now it is. Again, we said, you wouldn't let me pirate campaign, and so now here's what you get. You hear Captain Silvertooth Livingstone yell out, "Fire at will, boys!" And a mote of light starts to fall from the ship directly towards Val.
Oh, no. So this is the orbital cannons. Got it. Yeah. Cool.
Great. Cool.
An 18 to hit?
That hits.
12 points of fire damage as above you all, you start to hear the sounds of energy being released as the ship's guns are turned down onto you.
Cool.
Great.
Jeez.
But that's all that happens. Except it's now Simone's turn.
Okay. All right.
You guys, boy, you really rolled shit initiative. I rolled medium initiative, and you just rolled really bad initiative. Simone, unaffected by any of whatever...
Is she going to teleport? Is she going to plane shift?
She spends her next three actions just desperately trying to teleport and not understanding in her small snake brain that she simply cannot. She's gonna snake over.
Okay.
Do snake-like motions chasing the frogs.
Okay.
I think at this point, I think she's probably... Oh, no, she's going to try and... She's not super smart.
Mango is also very large right now, so the obvious target, IMO.
I was going to say, I think that she's just smart enough to be like, all right, these creatures are riding away. This is the very large creature that hasn't really attacked me too much, but is very large. And so she is going to try and stun good old Mango.
Oh, no.
As zoom, 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 from several feet away, she is going to ask for a wisdom saving throw.
Ooh, 23.
Nice. Ooh, that Dang. Is a success.
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
How can you possibly daze a creature with such, majesty. I don't want to be mean. Majesty, that's the word I'll use. You take 16 points of damage.
All right.
Unfortunately.
Mango's feeling a little singed, but the two of us continue riding away.
And then I think she's going to do a... Seeing that it didn't affect the large creature, is going to do another bite upon it. As a bonus action, 17 to hit.
Hits.
Okay. Mango's going to take an additional 10 points of piercing damage.
Ow. He's definitely looking a little rough after that bite, but he's still holding strong.
Okay, and those were taken 10 feet or so away from you at reach. That is the end of Simone's turn. It is now the captain's turn. The captain does something on his turn.
Wow.
And ends his turn.
Great. Cool.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Sure, it's fine.
I'm worried about it, Nathan.
Well, I wouldn't worry about that because you should worry about something else.
If it was anything important, he would have shouted it.
Narrated what was happening.
Right, that's fair.
It's nothing.
Nothing to worry about. But again, what is something to worry about is now it is the first mate's turn, a.k.a. Boltai, a.k.a. This huge suit of armor inside of a small crater being fueled by the power of a flame elemental that is now advancing on at least Kaskarin and Val's position. It steps up to Kaskarin.
Oh, God, okay.
So as a reminder, this is a... I guess you can't even really call it a creature. This is a suit of armor unlike anything probably you've ever seen collectively before. Every single plate is all put together in a perfectly cohesive way. It is almost like it is muscle, where everything fits together perfectly. There are no gaps in the armor. Everything seems to expand and contract perfectly together. And now... thanks to an infusion of elemental energy, every little joint and crack is now glowing a little bit with red fire, and each eye that protrudes out of this is just a mote of flame.
Great. I like that.
One of its perfectly formed, intricately crafted hands starts to mold and meld into a huge battle axe.
Okay, I'm going to say a gun.
Well,
call an ambulance, but not for me.
Remember the sanctuary.
Yes, indeed. again, this I am assuming that most creatures do not know, at least these dumb pirates don't know what Sanctuary is. So it is going to make a series of attacks against you.
Yep.
But it's going to have to try to break through each time, I believe,
correct,
right? With a Wisdom saving throw?
Wisdom saving throw, DC 17.
19 on the die.
Ugh. Okay, yep.
Ooh, rolled really bad. 12 misses. Failure on the second attack. Third attack. Ah, that's a 9. So two failures into success, but that one missed. So just... And I don't know, how does your bubble interact with weapon attacks like that?
So it's really just they're trying to hit Caspian in the middle of this water bubble, but because the light is just refracting his image, they're just missing in spots where they feel like they should be hitting him.
Yeah, it's like at some point, like the axe passes through Caspian's image, but like he's actually not there.
Right.
Just the way the water moves.
Inside of the bowels of this thing, you can hear a voice amplified through some sort of mechanical or magical or both means and say,
A tough crew yourselves. Interesting.
Now it is the Joe's turn, who are the people by the cave, because again, everyone rolled better than you guys, and they do something. Bad news. The cannons fire again.
Oh, no.
This time, taking aim at Checkers.
Oh, no. Okay.
That is a 19 to hit.
That hits.
Only 7 points of fire damage.
Okay, Checker is just being bombarded from the ship. He's going to force a concentration saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine.
Okay. Now it is finally the Golden Tree's turn. After Nathan has been playing a semi-solo RPG for the last few moments. Valeska Carter.
I'm curious to try something.
Cool.
Interesting.
I'm going to cast Guardian of Faith.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It needs to appear on an unoccupied space.
Yep.
So it will appear right next to the rope.
Yep. That no problem.
In that space, a large size spectral guardian appears.
Mm-hmm.
And hovers in that space. It is indistinct except for a gleaming sword and shield emblazoned with the symbol of my deity. I would like it to be emblazoned with the sky whale.
Who is your god? Right,
yeah.
My god.
Any creature hostile to me that moves to a space within 10 feet of the guardian for the first time on a turn must succeed a dexterity saving throw. The creature takes 20 radiant damage on a failed save, or half on a successful one.
Okay.
The guardian lasts for 8 hours and vanishes when it has... all of its hit points are removed.
Lasts for 8 hours?
Yes, and it costs an action to cast.
Excuse? 8 hours?
How long do you think this combat's going to last, Val?
I want this to last until...
until I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're not leaving. Yeah, absolutely. It is just towering, just now equal in size as this huge monstrosity of armor just kind of emerges this spectral guardian, making sure that no one's coming up in your business for some time.
No. So then, as my bonus action, I will cast Magic Stone, a.k.a. Magic Ninja Star Books.
Yep, sure.
And they'll have my 3 Magic Ninja Star Books. And then as my hasted attack action, I will attack using a ranged attack spell with one of them.
Okay, I think that all tracks. So you just have a handful of, like,
I have 3
semi-glowing...
magical books.
Hell yeah.
When I toss them, actually, like, spiral out into, like, a pentagon attack. We'll go for the big guy. Why not?
Sounds good.
18 to hit.
That is a hit exactly.
Ooh. Nice, nice, nice.
What kind of damage is this?
Let me...
It's bludgeoning, but then it's a
okay,
magical
perfect
spell, so...
6 points of damage.
Hey, it takes all 6 points of damage.
Oh, all right.
And I'm going to ask this. This can be edited out later. But what's the name on the spine of the book?
Sky whales are sacred.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Just it is all every sky whale book that has ever been written.
Yes.
Caskrin Brightmane.
I feel like this is going to be one of those moments where, like, Valeska, you and I are going back to back. And we're going to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Kaskrin, as a bonus action, is going to put away his hammer. He's going to drop it to the ground, and it kind of dissolves into the earth. And instead, around his arm, he forms this kite shield that he immediately equips, giving himself +2 armor, but no weapon. He looks at this creature towering in front of him. He looks at the perfection with which it's molded and the fiery lines of energy that are sort of snaking down its body. And he realizes that in order for us to have a chance against this, we have to team up. Kaskrin is going to try and move towards you, Valeska, provoking an attack of opportunity.
Okay, wisdom save. Natural 20.
Okay.
Only 11 to hit.
Okay, nice. That does so miss.
Another battle axe comes crashing down and just barely misses you.
Perfect. Kaskrin is going to move 25 feet towards Valeska, and it's like, you know, we're within sort of the Sky Whale's aura, surrounded by these enemies on all sides. With his final, I don't want to say final action, with his action, the last thing he can do on his turn, Kaskrin is going to cast his first 5th level spell.
Ooh.
Oh.
This spell is called Brutal Barrage, and it is basically the catapult spell times 5.
Cool. Kaoken, etc. Yes.
He is going to begin sort of like molding and whirling his hands around this giant bubble, and the bubble around him begins to dissolve as well. The sanctuary begins to fade. All of a sudden, like, rocks all around this sort of jungle area in every single location, small, large, begin hovering up to some degree at Kaskrin's magnetic call. And in an instant, they all converge on the first mate. I'm kind of imagining that scene in, like, Iron Man 2, where, like, all the small pieces of armor just sort of, like, come hit, like, Tony Stark all at once.
Yes.
And, like, you know, just, like, knock him off balance.
Hell,
that's,
yeah,
like, exactly what's happening with all these stones in this entire area. And, like, one strikes him, another strikes him, and all of a sudden, it's just, like, all of these rocks flying towards him at lightning speed, knocking him off balance.
Sick.
Well, this actually does. Make a ranged spell attack for each hurled object, which is 5. I am going to start with the first one. That is a 23 to hit.
Hit.
He takes 12 points of damage on the first rock, and it just kind of like impacts him at the back of the head. If he is large or smaller, he is knocked prone. No save.
He is knocked prone.
All subsequent attacks against him as part of the spell now have advantage against him. I have 4 more rocks.
Cool.
Whoa.
Damn.
That's a hit. 17 on the die.
We are looking for 18 is the AC.
Natural 20 on the third one.
Whoa,
yeah!
Okay.
That is a 16.
Miss.
That is a 19.
Hit.
So that is going to be 3 additional hits, one of which is a critical. Cool.
Yeah! 4d12.
Unfortunately, as cool as that was, as all these rocks are impacting him, the armor does seem to dissipate some of the energy.
Sure.
My rolls were so hot garbage.
Mm-hmm.
He only takes 13 points of damage.
You did that much on your first
you did
roll.
12 on the first one.
I rolled a 4, 3, 2, and 1.
No.
I was ready to be like, fuck.
Yeah.
How much HP do I have to add to this monster?
So he only,
I'm good, though.
Turns out 0.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You know, 24 points of damage is still
That's
pretty
very
good.
Very good.
Very good.
I'm still
and
pretty
knocked prone.
And it's knocked prone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still pretty okay with it. And now Kaskrin's next to Val. I still have haste up.
Besties!
We're like back-to-back in the Sky Whale, feeling good. And that's my turn.
As a villain action, you once again hear the captain's raspy, seductive voice? probably. Echo out. Lock him down. We'll be out in a jiff. This is his lockdown villain action, which means each ally within 60 feet of him who can hear him move up to their speed and make a athletics check with advantage to try and grapple an enemy. First of all, the Well, the group who have landed, which we haven't, I don't think, identified yet, they're the Tims.
They're the Tims,
obviously.
Okay. Great.
The Tims, they're going to reach out and try and grapple you, Val.
Sorry, before they do that?
Yes.
I need all of them to make a dexterity saving throw, DC 17.
Or explode.
Yeah, be cleansed by holy light.
Okay. 18 on the die.
On a failed save, they still take 10 points of radiant damage.
Successful save.
On a successful save, they still take 10 points of radiant damage.
Yes. This huge spectral guardian swipes their mighty sword down, and with a vengeance of at least one sky whale, cuts down one of the Tims.
He just, like, runs in, and all of a sudden you see the flesh melt from his bones. Like, skeleton, just like...
Full Indiana Jones. Yeah. It is, like, a full 15-second thing. It's really off-putting.
I kind of pictured it more like a bug zapper.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just a flash of light, and they're gone.
Yeah.
So that happens. So they are going to now make their athletic check against you. They fail.
Wow.
They grab out at you. What was your AC again, just to make sure?
16.
Yep, you're good. They move up to you and try to reach out and grab you, and you're able to dance out of the way, probably because they were spending a lot of brain power trying to get out of the way of the giant fucking flaming sword of vengeance, mm-hmm, so they weren't, mm-hmm, their heads weren't 100% in the game. And then the large power suit gets to move. As part of its move action, the creature stands up. This creature does not have, especially with standing up, doesn't have the movement to move all the way to you guys.
Hell yeah.
But it does, in fact, unfortunately, have to move past the large spirit of guardian.
Please make a dexterity saving throw, DC 17.
That is a failure.
Hey.
20 points of radiant damage!
As it also just explodes in its skeleton, just like, please.
Yeah, please only have 20 points of health.
No.
No.
So, and again, this blazing sword just kind of slices down and really just makes solid contact with this armor and digs in just a little bit. Just that extra little bit of radiant damage and the kind of spectral...
Moral high ground.
And the moral high ground is giving that little bit extra, the pierce that is required. But does actual real damage to the armor and does a whole chunk. And you can hear now a hiss of steam and gout of flame start to explode from the shoulder of this suit that is still kind of advancing on you, as this creature is bloodied.
Woo!
Hey. All right.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, this is your pilot speaking. I would like to welcome you to Reckless Airlines. Our total flight time for this episode is approximately 1 hour, and we will be cruising at an altitude of 2,000 frog stacks. In a little bit, the flight attendants will be by with complimentary clips and excerpts from previous Reckless Attack episodes. We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, and we would like to thank you for choosing ours. If you enjoyed your experience during today's episode, please be sure to fill out the in-flight survey and leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend. Book your next flight with us at www.recklessattack.com, and thank you for listening.
End of the villain action. Selv Astralin, we find ourselves here once again. You
serenely
are on a ship.
On top of the airship.
Yeah.
Without knowing anything that is going on below.
Right, yeah. You heard that there was, you know, kind of some sort of launch sequence that was complete or something like that, and something dropping out of a chute.
Right.
I don't know what. So it's just you and 3 other crew members, and also a really sad baby sky whale, who, yes, as a reminder, is making a really haunting, almost multi-voiced, discordant song.
Couple of questions for you, Nathan.
Yep.
When the fire cannons were used from the ship, did I see where those are or get any indication? Are they on the deck or are they like sticking out of the hull?
Yes, exactly. We'll say that actually one of them was essentially almost right underneath you. So you felt kind of that little blast of heat and saw the light kind of shoot out from behind you.
Gotcha. Second question. So since this is a whaling ship, are there any giant net shooting cannon type things? Of something they would use to capture, like, a large animal alive.
Roll me a quick perception check.
Sure.
Since we're in the heat of battle.
Ooh, that is a 9.
So the only kind of major thing that you can see on this deck is that there is a large harpoon gun kind of at the front of the ship.
Insane harpoon gun works perfectly good for me. So since this is, I guess, technically the first round of a combat.
Yes, it is.
The Ring of the Bear at level 2 has an ability called Into the Fray. So in the first round of combat, the speed of you and your allies, as long as they can see me, which unfortunately for this round they can't, is increased by 10 feet.
Yes.
Nice. So I have an additional 10 feet of movement. My regular movement speed is 45 feet. The extra 10 feet from the Ring of the Bear makes it 55. Doubling it makes that 110 feet.
Indeed. And that's just with your move action.
That's just with my move action per round. So, with 110 feet of movement.
Sure. You can reach pretty much anything you
want. I don't
want.
Get to say that often, so let me try that one more time. With 110 feet of movement, Nathan.
Yeah, I will listen to it semi-joyfully.
I would like to move to the harpoon and take a shot at the large mechanical thing on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think, unfortunately, the angle would not, like, you would have, it is mounted on the deck. So you couldn't see straight down. It would be like in that scene in Indiana Jones where Sean Connery shoots your own tail kind of thing.
Gotcha. In that case, I'm just going to grab one of the large oversized harpoons.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Run to the edge and huck it from a couple hundred feet in the air. And I assume it'll be at disadvantage. But
this is where Val dies.
I'm going to say it is a disadvantage just because I will say it's out of the range increment. But because it is such a large item and has the benefit of essentially a shit ton of gravity.
Terminal velocity?
Yeah, essentially. It will do a lot more damage if it hits. So go ahead and give me a dexterity or an attack roll, just a general attack roll.
I guess the question is, does it count as a spear, like as something I'm actually proficient in, or no?
I'm going to say yes, because it's funnier.
Okay.
But you're going to have disadvantage.
Disadvantage, that is, I understand that. That is perfectly acceptable. With disadvantage, that makes it an unnatural 20.
Wow.
Ooh, I was holding my breath. I didn't want to jinx it and say it out loud, but I was like, if you roll a natural one, Cass and Val are going to have to roll a die.
Yeah.
I was gonna have on a natural one, I get both of you. You're back to back.
That's true. I thought we were friends
through both of you. And then the suit of armor picks you up as a spit roast. Okay. Boy. Roll me 4d8 damage.
4d8 damage. Okay.
I don't know. Seems low.
I was like 10d6.
I was thinking like 12d8. Yeah.
Well, it is. That's true. Honestly, it is 200 some feet. Fall damage wise, I believe that would be.
Is their main harpoon used to fight sky whales going to do 4d8 points of damage?
Well, when thrown by him.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is it is not mechanically launched.
This is going arguably faster than it would if they had fired it.
I dislike how much I agree with your argument. I don't like it.
Imagine a 30-story building.
Yeah.
I agree with enough of your argument. Yeah. This is what I'm going to say.
You know the story of the penny dropped from the Empire State Building?
Yeah. Okay. I will once again reserve the right to really max out on fall damage on all of you in the future should it come up.
Selv is personally fine with that.
Yeah, I know. Give me a 10d6 roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow,
it's
okay.
Fucking, it's fun, and you guys are in plenty of trouble. A lot of sixes.
Just with the D6s, that is 31 points. Do I get to add my dexterity bonus to that because it
you've taken enough.
All right.
Can you use a key point to make it a stunning strike?
Yeah. What is 31?
31, yes.
Do it again.
Bonus action. Yeah. Flurry of javelins.
As a blur of self on the top of the deck of the skyship runs, grabs this almost cartoonishly oversized harpoon, and whips it down to the ground.
You know what fucking sucks? Is that that counts as your single hasted attack.
Yes, that is correct.
And then you have your normal.
Yeah, I'm going to also attempt to launch some other people over the border.
Fucking sucks. So I'm going to describe what the people on the ground see later on, but all you can see, Selv, is you get a delayed, like a 3-second delayed, just like crunch of armor as you see, I don't know, gouts of flame or something down there.
And I imagine that I see the impact and then hear the impact.
Right, exactly.
Yes. So now I am going to move. There are still three other people up
correct.
Here? Okay. I'm
the Craigs.
Yes.
The Craigs.
So I'm going to then continue on with the 110 feet of movement that I have and move over and start to see if I can take out these other three. First two attacks. Dirty 20 is the low, so 20 and 22.
Both hit.
Nice.
Well, they are both immediately just pummeled into the ground, into the deck of the ship. Dead.
Ooh, okay. So only one left?
Indeed.
All right.
And again, to listeners and anyone else, I guess, to people around the table, myself, in fact, these are all minions, all the various groups of mono-named individuals are minions. So all hits automatically kill at least one.
Then I will use my bonus action for my third for a third attack to hopefully and get rid of the third minion.
Excellent.
Up here.
Cool.
13 total.
Self, please describe to me how you dispatch all five people who are up here in the span of about 6 seconds.
So, runs to the harpoon, shucks that overboard, just long enough to see it hit, does the little yes, and then moves over to within 15 feet of the other three, and then two quick punches take out two of them, and then a sidekick as the we'll still use the fist of unbroken air, but it's more of like the foot of unbroken air.
Yeah.
Hits the third one and just basically doubles him over and then collapses onto the ground. And then Selv turns to look at the highly distressed Sky Whale and moves towards it. And just taking a quick look, I'm assuming it's tied down, but does it look like it's something that has to be cut? Or does it look like there's like I can undo like a ship knot or something?
Yeah, it's chains and ropes. So, but they are all knotted as opposed to like locked or that sort of thing.
Okay.
So.
All right. So that will be. I will end my turn next to the Sky Whale. And also, if I could determine where the stairs are that go below deck.
I'll have to have you roll a perception. On your next
good
turn.
Yep.
But the last thing on your turn is you see the huge eye of even this baby Sky Whale. Kind of roll up and look at you.
I'll just kind of like head him and be like,
hold on, I'm getting you out.
It senses your gentleness. End of the round. It's the Tim's time.
Hey,
the Tim's.
It's Tim's time.
The landing party, basically, who are right across from both Kaskrin and Val at the moment. I think they're mostly engaged with Val, so they are going to do a stab with their various hooks at Valeska Carter.
I have scary camo on. I've shot spectral tendrils out of the ground at them. A giant 20-foot skywheel behind me has struck down a Tim.
Does a 15 hit?
No, because I hasted. Hey.
All of those things are true and are exactly why you did not. They did not make successful contact against.
It's definitely not Kaskrin standing behind Val with a giant kite shield.
Yeah, definitely this not. Feels really lopsided. Like, why does Val get the Tims and I get like this abomination of like metal? That
that's how the dice rolls that way. Unfortunately,
all right. I'm just saying. I call the guys next. Like the
on, no other, on no other podcast yeah. would a sorcerer face such things.
Yeah, right.
How dare they?
All right, Val, you got that 20-foot-tall demonic entity with the giant horns. I'm going to take out those three imps standing over there.
Banishment. Top of the order. So basically, the frogs are in battle with the snake.
Still here, yep.
Just like having their own thing.
Yeah, it's just like nature Fables. With the frogs attacking, battling the snakes.
Precisely. Kaskrin, Val, the Tims, again, the landing party, and Boltai, the first mate in the armor, are kind of all in some amount of melee near the rope alongside a spiritual guardian. And Selv is just, he's just up in the ship.
No one knows what's happening with Selv.
Selv has just been gone for a little bit. I don't know how worried, at least I personally would be. It's like, well, Selv's up there. Well, I don't know.
There's occasional indication that Selv is still alive.
Well, that there was at least one good hint in the form of a giant javelin being thrown and piercing through the armor in front of you, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a moment, because top of the order is Checkers. Checkers, there is a snake who has been biting at you and your frog.
I'm really tired of fighting Savona.
What are you talking about?
As a bonus action, I'm going to activate the Mantle of Stillwater.
You said that with such like, all right, power word kill. As a bonus action, I cast Go Fuck Yourself.
Mods crush a skull.
So the first attempt didn't work, but Simone is still tethered to this pool of water behind her. And as a bonus action, I'm going to try and force her to be pulled towards the tether and away from the both of us. Make a DC 17 wisdom saving throw, please.
Okay. Oh, failure.
All right, so as Checkers and Mango are running away, Simone is just yanked back 30 feet towards this tether where she originally started. And the two of us just kind of ride off into the distance. And we're going to continue on the direction where Val and Cass and this tether are. At this point, do I see kind of what's going on in this space?
You for sure see a 20-foot sky whale.
Yeah, it's hard to miss, really. Yeah.
I would like it known the spell does say it's, like, indistinct and you just see, like, the short and shield, but I really imagine a 20-foot, like, standing vertically sky whale with a sword and shield that just looks kind of, like, kind of the vibe of...
it's the Pequod symbol. The Pequod's
Quag?
Quagsire?
Quagsire. Like, kind of that vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, just my, like, kind of got that, like, new little smile, but then, like, oh, no.
Important question. But, is this a plushie or, like, an actual sky whale with a little
different I'm imagining more plushie.
Okay. It's like, it's like
Val's...
The Saturday morning cartoon version.
Yeah.
But you've got, like the buttoned eyes and, like, the little patchy.
Like
kinda.
The ditto.
Yeah.
But it also does 20 points of damage if you look at it. Yikes-a-roni. So you can definitely see, but actually what you can see a lot of at this point, Checkers, and this is true for anyone who is kind of at this level of combat, is now there is a huge harpoon sticking in and through this armor. And whereas before, the people who were around it saw, you know, kind of bits of flame start to kind of gout out of it as it just was almost like leaking energy, you now see that it is starting to spout an inferno of flame, and it is lighting up the area like a bonfire. So you have actually extremely good vision of this area for whatever it is you're about to do.
I'm going to throw a rock at it.
Hell yeah.
So Checkers is just like, well, I think I know where Val is. And I see this giant flaming suit of armor with a spear sticking out, and I'm just like, what happened here? Like, I was fighting the snake, and now here we are. But I'm going to pull out a rock and just throw that thing.
Ka-cha.
Ka-cha. 19 to hit.
That's a hit.
11 points of magical bludgeoning damage.
Typical. Checkers has been off doing his own thing. The whole combat has been like, oh, I'm just going to obscure vision. No one's moving anywhere. I'm going to be just hanging out with this snake. Oh, not anymore. And then comes out of nowhere, after Kaskrin and Val have been battling for their lives, after Sel just does one of the sickest things of all time, and then is like, throws a little rock at it and kills it. So please describe what it looks like as you at least make the armor no longer functional.
It is the most anticlimactic thing ever. All of this stuff has been happening out of Checker's sight. He shows up, sees what's going on, is like, that's probably an enemy. chucks a rock at it for good measure as he's passing by. And just like he sees it fall over and then just goes up to Val and Cass like, hey guys, what'd I miss?
Hey, did that die?
I don't know. You tell me. I think it's dead. It's not moving anymore.
And Cass is like, he's like hunkered down with his kite shield, like ready to take any blow. And he like looks at it, looks around, kind of walks up to it and just like nudges it with his foot a little bit.
You all right, buddy?
It's funny you do that, because I'd like everyone to make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, no, it explodes!
Me included?
No.
200-foot radius.
Yeah. An inferno up into the sky. The ship is aflame.
I'm pretty sure I fail.
You have
a 7.
Advantage with haste.
With haste.
Ah, sweet! 17!
Kaskin also has a 17.
Ooh, okay.
Mango besties. Also has a 17.
Ooh.
Besties.
Checkers is a 10.
Maybe besties.
Maybe.
Everyone who failed their save takes 13 points of fire damage. Half that on a save.
Cool guys don't look at explosions, so Checkers just like singed and burnt and just like not paying attention. Just like, Val, how's it going?
This is 100% where like the front of his pants is totally fine.
Yeah,
the back exactly. is totally gone. It's got a little flat butt. Yeah.
You know what the worst thing I just imagined is like a crispy frog back where it's like, it's just like he like rustles when he moves for a little bit until he can like get dunked back into his bucket again. Yep.
Trying real hard not to show any pain. It's like, yep, we're good.
like leaves rubbing against each other, dry leaves.
He looks like that that bark frog now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And that's the end of my turn.
So you guys see, once your eyes kind of readjust to the fire, you guys see an empty husk of a suit. There's definitely some gears that are churning a little bit slowly, clunkily. You can see the remains of presumably Bulltie, who was in there. But also, you can see dripping out of the back of this, where I'm imagining it's just been opened up by the force of this explosion. Dripping out is what looks almost like a liquid metal. Anything else, Checkers?
That's it.
Time to fire the gun.
Okay.
Good news. It hits you. Aiming at you. Or yeah. Its trajectory is towards
sure.
you. And we'll say the angle's just right that it
avoids
hit Mango.
It avoids it only hits Checkers, but not the giant 10x10
yeah,
frog
it's just
under
that
him.
Perfect kind of strafing angle.
Right.
19 to hit.
That hits.
10 points of fire damage.
10 points, and I'll make some concentration saving throws, one for this and one for the exploding first mate. So I'll succeed on both.
Now it is Simone's turn. God. So, Simone, you wouldn't know this. You can't see her. You imagine Simone must be pretty confused.
Yep. Very lonely at
really
this point.
Really unsure of what's happening. And from out of the darkness, those of you who have dark vision see this huge black form double moving to find itself back up towards you guys. Does not have enough move to do anything. It is probably still another like 10 or 15 feet away or so from you guys, but has used its entire move just relentlessly hunting after its prey, a.k.a. the frogs. It is now Captain Silvertooth Livingstone's turn. He just heard a really big explosion. Immediately after a series of explosions, for good measure, you hear another explosion.
Cool.
The area behind you lights up once more in an instant as a sphere about to 20 feet in radius explodes in a fiery inferno, burning a huge swath of the plant growth as a fireball hits all of the plants. And charging out of the cave is the captain himself, followed by the Joes. The captain was a reminder, right side, just a rogue, devilishly good-looking dwarf, again soaked in rain, but pulling it off. Left side, hooks, pegs.
Eye patches.
But yet,
somehow it only makes him more roguishly handsome. And in his one non-hooked hand, instead of a crossbow, is holding a wand. He looks at you all, and he sneers. And he takes in a deep breath, knowing that he's about to deliver a crushing blow to your egos. Practically a vicious mockery. And then he sees the still smoldering remains of his first mate. And he looks at all of you. And he grits his teeth. He says, Oh, you'll pay. You'll pay for having crossed us. It's the end of his turn. The cannon shoot again.
Oh, no.
I'm working on it.
Not this time.
Bad news. You're in. I'm going to say that it is the same angle.
Yep. Wow, they're getting really good at that one.
Yes, exactly. They found the right range.
Yeah.
Because that is a 19 to hit.
That hits.
That is another 13 points of fire damage.
So I get blasted by the exploding suit of armor behind me, and then just multiple shots of guns come firing down. Meanwhile, Checker's just standing next to Val like, "Hey, Val, how's it going? Don't worry about me. I'm fine."
pretty cool what I just did, right?
Yeah, right?
Oh, no, Checker's.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
That's pants, almost more worrying.
Pants completely gone.
Yeah.
The Checker's is lying about how bad he's hurting. It's like, oh, this is like very serious.
And then he just reaches up and puts out the little fire on the feather in his hat.
And concentration check. I'm all right. I'm all right, Val. It's cool. Don't worry.
No, Checker's. You're so crispy.
Val, it's your turn.
Great.
You smell delicious.
Healing word. Checker's for third level. 3d4 plus 4. No?
No, I'm not even bloodied.
Oh, okay. I spent my whole off turn thinking Checkers was dying. It was just an act.
So he was. It was multiple layers of lie.
He's got advantage on performance.
Yeah,
that's right. True. That's true.
It was such a lie that it was actually truthful.
Yeah, that's true.
I would like to cast Spiritual Weapon.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
At second level, it's going to appear eye level with the captain. Mm-hmm. And I would like my spiritual weapon to take the shape of Val's Sky Whale plushie. She won at our festival.
Yes.
He just looks at it confused.
And then it just basically like juts forward and ramps him in the face.
Perfect.
Unnatural 20.
That is a hit for the only damage the captain has taken this entire combat.
5 points of magical force damage.
How?
So I've cast Spiritual Weapon as my bonus action. As my first action, I would like to have the captain make me a Wisdom 17 saving throw as I cast Toll the Dead. And I just radiate what Val imagines as these horrible whale cries, like, sound reverberates through him. You see this shockwave emanating from Val heading directly for the captain.
That is a failure. However, he's going to use his adrenaline rush ability, where he's going to burn a thing that hasn't come up yet, blah, blah, blah. And he just looks at you and he says, "I've been at this a long time, girly. I don't fear the toll of the bell." And he succeeds instead.
Val, in all, with all the sincerity and threatening vibes she can muster, takes one of her Magic Stone Ninja Star books and flings it towards the captain with her hasted bonus attack action and says, "Maybe you'll fear the turn of the page." And makes a spell attack at the captain.
Nice. Yes.
18 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes! 2d6. Fuck you, Captain Livingstone!
Oh, wow.
13 points of damage!
Jeez.
13 points of magical book damage!
Ow.
This one's titled Sky Whale Song.
Anything else?
Val will position battle trigonometry so that the guardian is between her and the captain.
I think you didn't have to do any movement.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. She like pokes out behind a spiritual sky whale.
Would like to reemphasize though that that if he wants to melee me,
she is mighty and terrifying, but also would like a giant 20-foot sky whale between her and this captain.
Okay, as a villain action, Captain says, "Craigs, get down here. We have some mopping of the deck to do." And then a body.
They're on their way.
And you see the captain look. I'm going to canonically say that is literally when one of the Craigs hits the ground. Because he's been falling for a few seconds because he's so far up. And he looks at the body and looks at all of you, looks up at the ship, and then glares, calculating.
Kaskrin is going to try and intimidate him.
Okay.
He can see kind of the mental calculation that's working here. And he says to the captain, "If you are so experienced at this, I think you've done this long enough to know when you're beat. We've taken your first mate, we've taken your crew, and we're taking this ship. But you can still live to fight another day. And I mean, come on. What's being a pirate without a rival?"
Give me a roll.
That is a 27.
Ooh, hot dice.
You see the captain grip the wand in his hand as you can hear his teeth grinding together in frustration. He looks... He sees two of the Tims down. He sees probably now several of the Craigs littering the battlefield. He looks back over his shoulder, sees Simone is there. And finally, his eyes rest on the charred remnants of whatever incredible piece of magical armor this once was, as well as his first mate. And he says, "All right. I know when I'm bested. You let me leave, you let my crew leave. This doesn't have to go any further."
Kaskrin kind of, you know, sets down the shield and says, "We'll let you live. We can't let you leave. You see, you have done a terrible thing. You've enslaved sky whales. You've hunted them down for sport. And that crime needs to be punished. Not by us. I think you've had punishment enough by our hands. But the people that you've hurt will get their pound of flesh."
"We haven't hurt anyone. We're out here surviving just like anyone else. But let me ask you this. Where are you all from? Not many settlements out here."
"I assume you know of the Red City of Agmar."
"Hmm.
You know of its walls. You know of its history. You know of its strength."
"Oh, there's reasons we don't fly over those skies. Many reasons. But also, we know a thing or two about the Red City as well. How about a trade of information to sweeten the deal? You see, we have no interest in whatever the Red City calls justice. We only have interests to keep on living. And we may know a thing or two that might help you all keep living too." The captain drops the wand at his feet. And you see everyone else kind of around him who's still in eyesight kind of ease up just a little bit. And he says, "Here's a bit for free. So you know that what we're talking about is serious business. Business is maybe worth the lives of me and me crew. Have you all ever heard of the Pharaohs?"
And probably, well, actually, you guys might be familiar with this. Selv would be most familiar with this. Because that is the organization that, way back in the tournament arc, paid a certain halfling so-and-so to go steal some dragon eggs from the Abbey. And with that, we'll see you next week.
No.
Cool.
The lore keeps getting deeper.
Bye.
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 Well, there is a large mamba who is doing attacks upon you.
Right. So
very, here's hoping.
Yeah, plant growth is not concentration, so that'll be in effect forever.
Forever.
I mean, yeah, this area specifically now just looks like this.
So did you upcast it? Is that how that works? Or
no, if you cast it once a day for a year, then you make plants grow, like agriculture happen. Otherwise, just like, hey, this area has more plants now. But like, I don't have to do anything to it. It just is like that.
Sick. Huh.
So it's a third level spell.
Yeah, nice. Checkers could ruin all of Agmar if you wanted to by just making plants everywhere. But
I would have a lot of fun role playing painstakingly the bones hunting and tracking you down,
yeah.
and just murdering you. Right. Like
that's great.
They'd be like, "There's no justice here.
Yeah,
the only justice is our justice."